Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's great to be with you this morning. Back to the Zoom days, but but just for this Sunday. Last fall, I shared with you that after completing 10 years of missionary service with ISI, I resigned. And it was a year filled with deep disappointment, difficulty, and sadness. A few months ago, when I shared with my pastor about my time, about my time grieving, in a cemetery, he said I wasn't only experiencing grief, but that, I was experiencing death. And he's right. Leaving ISI, was in my heart, a type of death. But since March of last year, I've been meeting with a Christian counselor, and in times of distress and even anger, it was very helpful to have a trained listener ask good questions and offer biblically sound advice. We don't want to let the wounds that we have turn to bitterness and resentment. We also don't want to miss the opportunities to work on ourselves, to learn from our own mistakes and shortcomings, and moving forward to become more like Jesus in character. It is worth the hard work. After this lengthy season, I'm so pleased to inform you that a few weeks ago, this season lifted. And by that I mean, the sadness is no longer the lens I look through. It's kind of like finally getting over a breakup. There may still be remnants of sadness, but it's no longer torturous on our hearts. It's like the fog of despondency has dissipated. You can put it in its proper place. It happened and it was difficult. But now I look forward to moving forward. Because I've experienced healing. Please thank God and rejoice with us. Right before Christmas, we became appointees to a new missions organization. To become members, employees, we need to receive 4 clearances: a home clearance, a field clearance, financial clearance, and a medical clearance. Now, why so many clearances? It's because this organization has been sending missionaries to East Asia since the 1860s. The vast majority of our employees are sent to East Asia for long-term missions work. Only a small group of us are posted here to minister to international students. So though we will remain in New York City, we will follow the process for the vast majority. And we're good with that. Since then, we have already received 3 of the 4 clearances, including our financial clearance, which means that we are 100% pledged for the year. We received the clearance even though we don't yet have the funds in our account, but because they've been pledged. So thank you for your ongoing financial support. After we receive medical clearance for our whole family, we will become members. And we hope to receive this clearance in a couple weeks and officially start on May 1st. The wonderful thing about Zoom is that today, Cindy, my wife, and our daughter could join us. Joey is under the weather for the past couple days, so he's still in his room resting. Cindy has always been active in my missions with international students, caring for students, especially female students. She's cooked many meals and helped me host events like the Super Bowl parties and rooftop dinners. She will also be joining staff as we move forward, and this is wonderful. Now she will share a few things as well as a few prayer requests for our family.
Hi, everyone. So some of the international students come with their families, which adds extra challenges and stress. For the past 3 years, I've co-led a weekly parent support group for international students. I was able to use my experiences raising my own children to minister. To minister, provide resources, and help families navigate the complex New York City school system, and also just help them with whatever things they needed for life in general. It was the highlight of my week. We had families from Japan, China, Taiwan, Colombia, Ukraine, Indonesia, and more. Our meetings had a time of singing and story time for the kids, as well as a time for parents to discuss topics such as social emotional learning, challenging behavior, five love languages, and more. We also celebrated together holidays for Thanksgiving every year. We would, each family would make a traditional Thanksgiving meal. We would celebrate birthdays together. One family from Korea had a baby, and so we celebrated the 100 days. And we, yeah, just involved them in life in general. So we just want to thank you so much for, all the support that you've given to our family through the years.
Happy to cool. Yeah.
So some ways you can pray for us is continue to trust in God's timing for us. As Kenny mentioned, that we would have the medical clearance we need necessary to become full-time members of the organization. We have been looking for a private school for Maymay next year, and she has an interview. Yep, an interview this Wednesday at Cook School. So please pray that she would have favor in that. She would be able to get a spot for high school next year. I mean, you're going to high school.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We praise God for Joey's growing relationship with God and his desire to get baptized this year. Yeah. So hopefully he'll get baptized before the summer. And also just pray for my parents. My mom is suspected to have lung cancer and will be having a surgery in a couple weeks. So please pray for that. So thank you for your support.
Thank you again for your partnership in ministering to international students. And thank you for your ongoing support. We look forward to giving you another update in the near future. Okay. Oops, you moved. Okay. All right. Since Pastor John is on sabbatical, I thought it would be a timely opportunity to talk to you about rest. Are you well rested or are you restless? Let's take a quick survey. Make two fists and just kind of put it on your lap. And I'm going to say a couple words of association. And if the first word is true for you, then you can kind of put up one finger. You don't have to show everyone off. Or on your left hand, and if it's true, the second word is true for you, you can put up a finger on your right hand. It's kind of like that game we used to play, like Never Have I Ever, right? Just put up a finger if you could relate to this. Okay, so rushed or unhurried? Are you rushed, left hand, or unhurried? Okay, second words, turn. Busy and overscheduled or balanced and fulfilled? Are you anxious or peaceful? Are you exhausted or are you relaxed? Preoccupied or grateful? Your mind is racing, or are you able to slow down and be contemplative? You're irritable or you're gracious? How did you do? Are you desperate for an inner rest that will give you strength to navigate the demands of each day? Do you need to experience the deep, loving presence of God in your life again? If you answered yes, first of all, you are not alone. Second, Jesus has an unbelievable invitation for you. In Matthew 11 that was read to you, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus wants to give you rest for your soul. Jesus invites you to come to him, to take on his yoke and learn from him how to rest. Will you accept Jesus' invitation? I've been praying for you, some of you by name. As Pastor John and Lee Chan is able to get some rest, I hope that we can also rest and find rest for our souls. Though life is demanding and unrelenting, our Lord, the Good Shepherd, invites those who are exhausted to receive the rest he offers. Jesus wants to give you rest for your soul. You know, when the God of Moses rescued the Israelites from Egypt, he instructed them to rest. In their 400 years of enslavement, they did not get to rest. They were cogs in a machine. No rest for the weary, no relief for the oppressed. But when God freed them from slavery, he instituted a rhythm of rest. Now, how do you know? How do we know if we have been liberated from slavery? It's if we rest. The proof is in our living. Resting is a sign of a free child of God. If you don't allow yourself to rest, you are living as a slave. God did not create us to be a machine. He created us in his image to be a person who creates and works, as well as a person who rests and delights in a relationship with God. For even God, who labored in creation, took time afterwards to rest and delight. Our society does not value rest. Our cities mock rest. The redeemed people of God move from, why do I have to rest, to, wow, I get to rest. And in resting, we are no longer slaves to accomplishment. You have permission from a loving God to rest. It is a privilege given to God's people. Jesus wants to give you rest. He invites you to go to him and learn how to rest. Our Lord and Savior loves us. He wants us in our hearts to have a deep inner rest. So he invites us to this rest. For us to receive the rest that he wants to give us, we are instructed to go to him. His instructions to rest involves the instructions. His invitation involves the instructions to come, take, and learn. Now, what does it mean to take on his yoke? People of Jesus' days, especially those who were chasing after his teachings, would recognize that rabbis would identify gifted young men to become their pupils. If chosen, they would put on the yoke of their rabbi, meaning that they would be identified as a rabbi's students and begin to learn from their rabbi how to live a life that pleases God. To be yoked with Jesus is to be identified as his disciples and to learn from our great teacher. Jesus, in his hectic days of teaching, healing, and mentoring his disciples, modeled for us how to rest, how to pause and be recharged by his Father, how to step away and trust in his Father's timing. The amazing thing is that Jesus chooses us to come and receive rest. Jesus doesn't select us based on our talents. It's not by our track record of success that qualifies us, but by his righteousness. You can approach Jesus because he is gentle and humble in heart. You do not need to come to him with productivity. In fact, you are invited to go to him, even in your brokenness and sin. Your father is not angry. You can come home and rest. When we think of the word yoke, we often imagine a pair of oxen yoked together, right? Pulling equal weight to plow the field. Or we think of the phrase, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. However, in this context, the accurate image is of a large ox in its prime, strong, disciplined, and experienced, yoked with a small ox, weak, inexperienced, and perhaps even frightened. The mighty ox is doing all the heavy lifting, all the pulling. The young ox is following along and learning. It is not pulling equal weight. The mighty ox knows the direction, the purpose, and the pace. The young ox is imitating. Jesus tells us to put on this tandem yoke. His yoke is light, as opposed to our own heavy yoke. He is carrying our burdens. Therefore, when yoked with Jesus, the burden is light. Jesus invites us to be yoked with him so that he can carry the heavy burdens of life. He instructs us to learn from him and to lean on him. Come with your heavy burdens, with your disappointments and your anguish. Cast your burdens on Jesus, for he cares for you. Lastly, Jesus informs us that his yoke is easy. As a carpenter, Jesus is an expert of custom fitting a yoke personally for you. It's not a one size fits all. He has tailored a yoke that is best suited for the life that he has called you to live. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. 2 weeks before Mei Mei was born, I was really struggling with the reality of Mei Mei having Down syndrome. It wasn't confirmed yet, but it went from a 1 out of 320 to 1 out of 5. In a time of just intense wrestling with God, he said to me, Kenny, the road ahead of you will be difficult, but I will be with you and it will be for my glory. Unless you accept Jesus' invitation to come and be yoked with him and learn from him, you will be yoked to yourself, carrying the heavy burden yourself. Will you accept Jesus' invitation to be yoked with him, to learn from him? He will carry the heavy load. He will give you the resolve to endure hardship with peace, rest, and even delight. Now, what does rest look like? For some of us, perhaps it's been a while since we had rest in our souls. So I'd like to share with you some of the practices that I've been learning, and perhaps it will be beneficial to you. Some are simple and some are more like reminders. But I trust that it will be something that you can glean from and put into practice, so that it would lead to inner transformation. Consider your first thoughts in the morning. When you wake up, what immediately floods your mind? Hundred things to do, rushed to take the kids to school, work deadlines. You may find it beneficial to change the script of your waking first thoughts. One thing I've done is when I wake up, I put an alarm to wake up and I've titled it, Rejoice in the Lord. And it's helped me from just waking up and feeling hurried and anxious to just taking a moment and thanking God for giving me life, thanking God for the day ahead. For Cindy, when she wakes up, she plays the song In Control. It's to remind her that God is in control of each day. Of course, it's also beneficial to consider your last thoughts for the evening. If you're like me, you may be on your phone until the moment you turn off the lights and close your eyes, but your mind is still racing. So one thing I've tried to do is just to get on YouTube, get on this channel, SoakStream, and just to play one of these Sleep with God's Word, Sleep with God's Promises. And I dim the phone and I just listen to God's Word as I fall asleep. Full disclosure, there are days I don't want to do that at night. And so I'll get on Peacock and I'll play an episode of Everybody Loves Raymond to laugh myself to sleep. Another thing I do is in the morning, I try to get on my knees for 5 minutes as an act of surrendering and reminding myself that I am bending my knee to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that I am not the king of my life. Now, how do I use those 5 minutes? First, I spend the first half of the time declaring who God is, that he's the Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth. And then I also take time to really acknowledge who God is to me, that he's my heavenly Father, that he's gracious and merciful. When I spend time with Jesus, my Lord, my Savior, my Redeemer, the Good Shepherd, and I just slow down and say those things about who he is and what he's done. And I don't forget about the Holy Spirit, my comforter, my advocate, the one who reminds me of the teachings of Jesus and the Word of God, the one who gives me the desire and the ability to do what pleases him, the one who is with me and will never leave me or abandon me. It gives me time to trust that God is on the throne, that he is in control of my days. And then the second part, I spend it in silence. And kind of like when Eli instructed the young prophet Samuel to just say to God, speak. Please speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And I just try to listen to see if God wants to say something to me. Once in a while, it'll be an audible voice, but usually God just reminds me of scripture. I'll give you an example. 7 years ago, God told me to become more Christ-like in character. And he used the verse in Colossians 3, verse 12, to say, to clothe myself with Jesus' compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. I've been in ministry long enough to know that oftentimes I tend to rely on my own talents, my own giftings, my own experience. But now that I've been in ministry for over 20 years, I realize bearing fruit is not just about doing things for God. It's becoming more like Jesus. And so I want to be more Christ-like. I don't want to run to the finish line to realize that I've disqualified myself because I'm not like Jesus. And so for the past few years, I've been meditating on how do I become more compassionate, kind, humble, meek, and patient. And it's very hard. It's very hard to become less of me and more of Jesus. But in one of my meditations, God reminded me, hey, that's the second part of the verse. Remember the first part that it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, And I was just able to spend time on my knees remembering that God has chosen me, that I am part of God's chosen people, chosen not because of my good works, but because he loves me. And I'm dearly loved, deeply loved, personally loved by God. And that he has set me apart. He has set us apart as his chosen people. Now, most of us will probably know that in our minds, but we need to give ourselves time, unhurried time, to let what we know in our minds to really sink in our hearts. I wanted to share something with you that a study conducted by the Center of Biblical Engagement. And it basically said that if you read the Bible once a week to three times a week, change in your life is minimal. But these are the things that happen if you read the Bible at least 4 days a week. I'm going to give you time to look at this. And I'm going to give you just the percentages. Hopefully this will motivate you, inspire you to read God's word at least 4 days a week. We all have strongholds in our lives, but the living word of God can give us freedom. We all struggle with discouragement, loneliness, fear. But when we fill our lives with God's word, we are freed and we have given peace. In the book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality by Pete Scazzaro, he says that we are delight deficient. To rest is to delight. It's to delight in life-giving activities, to delight in our relationship with God. It's to delight in the blessings that God has given us. Last weekend on Saturday, we had a slow morning. I find myself in the late morning lying in bed with Mei Mei head on my right shoulder and Cindy's head on my left shoulder. And it was delightful. I thank God for blessing me with the Chow girls. Moments like those recharge me, reminds me to give thanks for God's blessings. And I rest in God's goodness. Some of us need to have some life-giving activities so that we can delight in. Life is not just an endless amount of chores and obligations. What brings you delight? Could be a meaningful conversation with a good friend, or it could be sharing about who Jesus is in your life to a family member or a coworker. Could be hiking. Could be journaling, could be eating. So what brings you delight? What fills your cup with God's goodness so that you would receive God's goodness and that you would be someone that can pour out God's goodness on other people? Jesus invites us to come, to go to him. Because he wants to give us rest. He instructs us to take his yoke that is custom fitted, that is gentle and humble, that is easy and is light. Will you accept Jesus' invitation to rest? What has been causing you to worry and to be weary? What heavy weight have you been carrying with no relief in sight? Will you take off your own yoke and put on his tandem yoke? What is something you would like to try this week? a practice that can help you, put you in a position so that you would receive the rest that Jesus wants to give you. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." May we all accept Jesus' invitation to receive rest for our souls, that it would be good for us and our relationship with God. It would be great for our families, our spouse, our children, our parents. And it will be a testimony to our coworkers and our neighbors that there is a God who came to bear our burdens and to give us freedom from slavery so that we can rest. Let's pray together. God, even now we ask that you would meet with us and speak to us. Please recall the words, your words, scripture that we have in our minds and place them in our hearts. We confess that we are weary, restless, anxious. We confess that we want to be in control of our lives. Remind us, God, that you have come so that we can have hope in you and not in ourselves. We can have peace in your finished work instead of us constantly striving to perform. God, give us time this week to read your word, to meditate on it so that it would go to our hearts. Give us times of silence so that we can hear your voice. Give us physical rest so that our bodies would be replenished. And God, there are some of us that are going through really just intense trials and challenges. God, would you meet with us to remind us that you are a good shepherd. You are in control. You are mighty and strong. And because you are faithful and good, we can trust in you. We can put our hope in you. And would that be beneficial to our relationship with you, to our outlook for each day, to the relationships that we have, especially with our family, and also to be a testimony to our coworkers and neighbors that you have given us rest, joy, and delight. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.